Here we go. If you turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, please. Luke in the book. I guess it's... We continue with our series, The Heart of an Apostolic Church. We're doing a study on the book of Philippians. And you ask, why are we going to the book of Luke then? So, well, just to make a point. Simply that. Nothing critical. So, we started the thing, and we're still going to be in chapter 1 for today, but we will get out of chapter 1 eventually. But it's good to have a look at the study. It's Luke chapter 5. And so this morning, we want to look at partnerships for the gospel and what that really means and how we progress from that and why partnerships are important. And one of the initiatives is for us to be partners in here, so that we can also be partners out there. Luke chapter 5, verse 7. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats that they began to sink. Verse 9. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. The importance of this is that they left everything. And that's why I think Bridget came with the word this morning, that if we are chasing after stuff that is not rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, then what are we chasing? And it's fruitless and it's meaningless. And in my Bible it says vanity, vanity, vanity of vanities. It all means meaningless, meaningless. Now, my heart is that for us to be able to export something out there, we've got to be good at it in here. If we're not good at it in here, then how can we export it and take it out there? It's the same as when you're producing and manufacturing something. You've got to have produced and manufactured something that works well before you can export it somewhere. And so that's why this morning I'm hoping for us to see the partnerships for the gospel. We've spoken about partnerships for the sake of the gospel and what that looks like. And we looked at the structure of our partnerships. It's not hierarchical. We looked at the nature of our partnerships, that we are sharers and partakers together. We looked at the heart of our partnership, team devoted to one another. And we looked at the purpose of our partnership. And by now you should all be able to say with me what the 5E grace points are. Encounter God, engage others, equip the disciples, empower leaders, and extend the kingdom of God. And so that's what we're all about and what we're doing. So let's go back to Philippians now. Remember, we started Philippians, then we looked at Acts chapter 16 to have a look and see how this thing all started, a planting of the Lord. And then Ken spoke on the joy of the Philippian church. We see that's a strong theme through the book of Philippians. And Michael spoke of the intimacy with Christ. And I had a new revelation of the word intimacy, which I'll share with you later on. But for now, Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Not apostles, not prophets, not evangelists, pastors or teachers, but just servants of Christ Jesus. To all the 18, the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers or bishops or elders or pastors, because it's the different functional names but the same office that it carries, and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayers with joy because of your partnership in the gospel for the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you, all because I have you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. So there's a depth to the love that is meant knowledge and all discernment. Why? So that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of our God. And so the first thing we have to understand is that there is a foundation for partnerships. And that foundation is laid in a right understanding of God's ways. And we see from the book of Philippians that we need to, there's a mindset that we often need to change. And we've spoken about this, but it's good to go over it again on how we need the mindsets to change. And that there was no hierarchy in the New Testament church. And we trust, and I know some of you might have come out of a place where there was strong hierarchy, and we trust that we live it and preach it here, that there is no hierarchy, but we need to also understand that there are offices appointed in Scripture of God and men and women to lead the church and to be in leadership in the church and what that all means. But it's not a hierarchical state because the Bible is very clear that you should not lord it over them. But the point of that is, again, Paul says it very clearly, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. And I know we love the pendulum to swing, so we go from this pendulum of hierarchical structure to no structure whatsoever, and we're all okay, and we can all do what we like, and everything's okay. And that's not Bible. Bible is in here somewhere where we don't have the excesses of this, where it's bow and scrape and lording it over, and this is here where people get the mind, oh, well, you're the servant in the church, so therefore you serve us. No. My first and foremost calling is to serve Jesus Christ. I am a servant of Jesus Christ, and so are you. But out of a heart of loving you, we serve you. And we trust that out of a heart of loving us, you would serve us. Not because we are servants of one another, but because of a heart of servanthood. Number two, a desire for excellence. Excellent, we are not professionals. We want a heart of excellence to do things. We understand and we see in the world that our mindsets and our need to change. We see that we need to understand the ways of God. We remember we spoke about Psalm 25 verse 4, which says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. 1 verse 10 here, Philippians 1:10 says, so that you may approve what is excellent. That word approve is dokimazo, which means to test the metal of something. Before they made the coin, they would test the metal to see if it was up to standard. So that we would dokimazo, approve the excellence of God in our lives. We understand, we see car designers through the ages. If you go back and remember the Model Ford T, and you remember you could buy any color car as long as it was black. And it had to be like this and that. But over the years, professionals have designed and wanted to make the car more aerodynamic, make the engine function better, wanted to make it the wheels turn faster, go from 0 to 100 in 3 seconds instead of 6 seconds, etc., etc. They don't want a professional car. They want an excellent car. And we are like that. We are like a vehicle for God to work through us. The world, when we get into partnerships, the world wants profit, as you see up on the screen. And the whole thing is, what can I get out of this? The church is not like that. The kingdom is not like that. It's prophetic. What can I give into this? So our mindset should be not what can I get out for today, but that's also good if you're going to take something to feed your body, feed spiritually. But what can I come and give today? What can I give into what we are doing? We get the architecture wrong when we want to make it look like the way we want to see it. We want the profits, and sometimes in the church we want all the benefits as we would have in a partnership, but if you're in any partnership and you've ever been in any business, ask Michael, he will tell you, there's a huge risk when you go into partnerships. And maybe you don't get the contract. Now there's a problem. But God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But God. And when we come to church sometimes we want all the benefits, but we don't want the risks. We don't want to do the hard work that sometimes is required. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. That's between Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, Song of Solomon. If you get to Song of Solomon, you've gone too far. If you're in Psalms, go a little bit further. It's one verse I want to read first, and then we'll read the others first. Verse 5. Did I tell you chapter 4? Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It tells us that there. Let's just look at verse 4 first. No, verse 5. The fool, it's the Bible, not Mark. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Of course, they don't mean literally, but the fool is lazy and ruins himself. So he doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to get out there and do what he's required of him. And we know that the book of Ecclesiastes is all about commentary on the ups and downs, and as Bridget pointed out, meaningless stuff. Again, I saw vanity, meaningless, verse 7, under the sun, or futility of human effort. One person who has no other, either son or brother, he has no one to share what he's doing, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks. His eyes are always never satisfied. No matter how much he accumulates, no matter how much he gets, he's not satisfied. He has selfish greed in his heart. Labor is often motivated by an inappropriate motivation. And I know and I understand that perfectly because that's how I was. Because I believe that if I worked hard, I would climb the corporate ladder, and the more I climbed the corporate ladder, the more money I would earn. The more money I earned, the richer I would become, and therefore I would provide a good home life for my wife and my child. And that sounds wonderful. The point on the other end of the scale was that I used to work 18 hours a day, Monday to Friday. I worked an 8-hour on a Saturday and a 4-hour on a Sunday. Not because it was required of me, but because I thought that I could be to all his toils, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches. So that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasures? This is vanity and to unhappy business. However, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, and we're not talking sexually here, please, so don't get all excited. Lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So here we have two are better than one. Together, we are fruitful together. And what is he talking about? Exactly what I'm talking about is partnerships. Two are better together because there is fruit from what they're good. They will give a good return for their toil. An individual alone cannot work on his own, cannot do this on his own. Otherwise, it becomes unhappy business, meaningless. Because we toil and we work hard, and then we have no one we can share it with, or no one we can tell, and no one we can talk to. Because together we are better. We are better together. We work better. We partnership together. And of course the final thing is a cord of three cannot be broken. Two is good. Three is better. And Chris will go off into space now for the number of three and Trinity and unity and all that kind of good stuff. Which is good biblical numerics. One will lift up his fellow. For if they fall, and you fall by yourself, you need someone to help you and pick you up. We become more fruitful. Number three, we help one another. We can help one another in the toils of life. Sometimes we get up onto the mountain, and you know the mountaintops are great. We love to be on the mountaintops. Mountaintops are for inspiration and a great view. I hope I'm not going to get struck from outside. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm protected. Where's the lightning conductor? What was I saying? Mountaintops. Mountaintops are good for inspiration. Go up to the mountaintops and pray and get your inspiration. But in the valley is where the fruit grows. It's in the valley where we become fruitful. So we can go up and have a great view, and we can communicate and get our inspiration, but we've got to come back down into the valley to do the work. Help one another. And then again, we build intimacy together. We have a look and we see where we build. And I said to you, I was going to tell you what I thought about intimacy. I'm going to spell it a new way. I'm going to spell it into me, you see. I-N-T-O dash me, M-E, you, Y-O-U, see. Into me, you see. Because we want to be accountable and we think it's a great idea. But then when we sit down and we talk about accountability and what it really means, you realize that it was just a good word that you heard. You don't really want to be accountable. Because when people ask the hard questions, well, you can't ask me that. That's my private life. Well, into me you see. Yes or no? Together we build intimacy. Warm relationships. Cold hearts, cold relationships. Together we are better. We are partnerships. The greatest church out there today in North America is the Church of the Offended. I'll just go home and be on my own and I'll do my own thing. And that I'm telling you now, that is not Bible. I'm sorry. If you feel that way, you think that way, it's not Bible. We can't make apologies for it. We are more fruitful. We'll see the fruit of our labor. Together we help one another. Under pressure, we will help each other together to stand up and build each other up. And the last one, of course, is we defend one another. When we see people walking into danger, we see people going and down a path that they shouldn't go. So do not go down this road. It will not be helpful for you. Yeah, I know, but I can deal with this myself. Well, no, you can't. And that's why we have teams and we are in teams. God's first team was Himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Second team, Adam and Eve. And you go throughout Scripture, and you see in the New Testament, there was always about teams and working together, being accountable to one another. Recipe for a partnership. What is a recipe for a partnership? Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1, please. I'm really trying to get this done quickly today. Recipe for a partnership. Have people on your minds and in your thoughts. 1 verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Think of others. Be conscious of those around you. You don't have to be your wife. I'm not talking about that. I would hope, husband or wife, brothers and sisters, blood family, I trust you doing this by natural de facto. You don't have to be taught to do this. I hope not. Anyway, we're in partnership together. When you hear God speak to you. You know, confession time. Many years ago, you know, like Samuel and Eli, and God called him, and he said, yes, Lord. And he went around and said, Eli, are you calling me? He said, no, it's God. Go back, and he'll call you again. When I was young and I worked so hard, I think God was trying to arrest me and get my attention. I heard his audible voice. He would call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Who wants to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Not I, said the clown. So I would, geez, that was weird. I'd tell Bridget in the morning, you know, weird, I thought I heard someone call my voice in the night. She'd say, well, maybe it was God. Oh, but I was so tired. Working long hours, you only get 6 hours sleep. You, every day, onward and upward, or 4 hours, because, anyway. When God calls and speaks to you, don't do the charismatic Christian thing. How are you, brother? I'm fine, but I need prayer. And they say, oh, yes, we'll pray for you. And then you never do. Pray for them then and there. We make that a practice because we know that we are fallible in our brains and we will forget. And not that we didn't mean it. Consider others more than yourself. It's a good piece of scripture to understand. That if we could get that into our hearts, change our minds, look for the excellence in that thing. What is God's ways in that? It says, consider others more important than yourself. Don't tell people, we think it's a joke. It's not. It's cruel. It hurts the people. You shouldn't do this because you should just not give up your day job. And we laugh and we think we're hilarious. Meanwhile, you've just crushed someone's heart by, I think, trying to be smart. I've done it, I know. It's wicked. And we think we just cracked the best joke of the week. And the yes, exactly. Number two, have people in your heart. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7. It is right that I feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. It doesn't say your wife, doesn't say your brother, doesn't say your sister, your uncle, your cousin, your auntie, others. The one sitting in front of you, the one sitting behind you, the one sitting next to you, others. Partnerships have people in their mind, they have them in their thoughts, they have them in hearts. I'll tell you, as an eldership, we cry out for the members of this church. Those of you who consider that you're members of this body, we cry out for you. We have you in our minds, in our thoughts, in our hearts. We pray for you. We believe. We would like to believe that our relationship is more than just a hello, how are you? I remember the first time, the second time I visited the United States. We used to go to these, was it Walgreens? Was it? No, it wasn't. Some big shop there. And they have these retired people who stand at the door and they greet you. And if it's raining, they take your umbrella and they put it in a box when you come out again. And I, of course, I'm curious. So I went and somebody said hello to me. So rude not to say hello back. And the people said, no, don't greet them back. I said, why not? So they don't expect you to do that. They're just saying hello. They just welcome you into the shop. So of course, because I can be perverse, I went and said, hello, how are you? They said, hello, how are you? I said, I'm fine. How are you doing? They didn't know how to answer me. And I went into a bookshop, and the guy said, hi, how are you? I said, I'm great. How are you doing today? And he was like, society has become so warped in just throwing out. And what I've done a few times, and people have asked me, how are you doing? I've said, I'm actually having a bad day. And they say, oh, praise God. Hallelujah, brother. Check it out sometime. Test it. We're not wanting to build a preaching center here. We want to build a family of God. We care about each other. There's someone in our hearts. We care about them. We don't tear them down and gossip about them. We don't go around spreading rumors and lies. That's when a partnership becomes real and meaningful. That in actual fact, into me you see. And the words that come out my mouth you can trust. The words that come out your mouth I can trust. When we come in, when new people come into the body, do we still stay in our little cliques or do we go, hi, how are you? Welcome to Heart City Church. Nice to see you. Or we bump them out the way at the coffee thing there. I know I'm being extreme. We need to share the joy us and our sadness and our triumphs and our failures. Into me you see. That's when we can do that. When you can come and tell me, I'm having a bad day and I don't know, so, brother, there's sin in your life. But let me cast that demon out. And I'm never sharing anything with that guy again. Demon behind every bush. Just so you know, I don't believe a Christian can be demonized, possessed by a demon. Just so you know. We can be oppressed, but not possessed. Have people in your prayers. 1 verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Knowledge and discernment. I have you in my mind. I have you in my thoughts. I have you in my heart. I have you in my prayers. There's a story about a nurse who used to go about her daily thing, and you can try this for yourself. She used to take her hand, and I'm going to have to read this because I can't remember as it all. Her thumb was closest to her body. So she would pray for those that are closest to her. Her mother, her father, her husband, her children, brothers, whole family thing. The index finger is the one that points and guards and teach, and so she would pray for all those that taught her in her life and mentored her and the doctors who were teaching her and all that kind of thing. The middle one is the longest, the tallest finger. So she would pray for all her leaders, the ones that are leading the practice, the ones in the leaders in government, her leaders in the church, and she would pray for them. The ring finger says, the document says this, so the pianist can tell me, they say it's the weakest finger. And it's not as good as the rest of them, it's the weakest finger. So she would pray for all the weak people that she knew in her life. All those who needed help. All those that needed a touch from God. All those that were down and out and in trouble. And then the littlest finger, it's the littlest and it's the least. She would pray for herself. Think of others more highly than you ought to. Biblical attitudes that aid our partnerships. 1 verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may dokimazo what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of Him. Knowledge of God. If we do not have, not just gnosis, we need epignosis. Gnosis is just, I know about God. Epignosis, I know God. When He talks to me, and I walk with Him, and I read His Word, and I hear His voice, and I hear what people say to me through Him. When we really know God, we can become instrument-rated for the kingdom of God. It's like an aeroplane flying out. And in our lives, we like these little aeroplanes, we're flying out, and sometimes the clouds start to descend upon us, and we get a little bit panic. And we send out a mayday call. And sometimes you hear the mayday come in, and the guy says to him on the back, on the common, says to him, are you instrument rated? And he says, no, I'm not. And he says, mayday, mayday. And he says, I'm spinning out of control. I'm spinning. Kaboom. If we are not instrument rated, that's what we're going to be like. When the clouds come down, and we do not have the knowledge of God, and we do not have the second point, is discernment. We are going to mayday, mayday. And because the clouds are around us, we can't see the fog, and we can't see. What we need to do is go to someone who is instrument rated. Help me to become instrument rated. Help me so that I can see through the clouds. And even when the clouds are around me and pulling down on me and they're all around, I can read the instrument. And I have the knowledge of God within me so that my partnership can be strengthened. Discernment, what is best? When we were in South Africa, they used to have a TV advert for Red Row fish paste. Do you know what fish paste is? Similar here? What's similar? So it's, what it is, it's anchovies ground up into a paste like pate. And we would make toast and spread it on our toast. And very nice. And so there's an advert on TV for this little kid because everything was Red Row. Hello, Mommy. I want Redro. And the dog would roll in, hello Redro. And the cat would come up the curtains, hello Redro. And Mommy would walk in, hello Redro. And Daddy would come home, hello Redro. Everything was Redro. He had no discernment. Cute, no discernment. And sometimes we've got to have discernment in us to know that that's Daddy, it's not Redro. That's Mommy, that's not Redro. That is God, that's not Redro. And we need the discernment to understand. But our problem is that when we have no discernment, it's just our flavors in our palate, because that's all he knew is this little kid flavor. And we want everything done the way our flavor is and what we think God should be and how we should behave. But often it's outside of God. But as we grow and mature, we grow and discern what is good or bad, what is right or wrong, God's will, God's will for our lives. And I forgot all the points, didn't I? Oh no, we didn't. We're getting there. The attitude, biblical attitudes that aid our partnerships. You know, your attitude, as I've said before, will determine your altitude. And that's so when we have good attitude, we have good altitude. Deeper knowledge and a higher discernment, we need a servant's heart. He commences, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. In Luke chapter 22, you read, who is to be the greatest? And what does Jesus say? If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you must be the least. A worshipping heart. The world is the entertainment center. The kingdom is not the entertainment center. We are here to worship the King. I hope we don't leave here by saying, oh, there was great worship today. Well, there was bad worship today. Well, there was a good sermon. Well, there was a bad sermon. Well, I'm having a good hair day. I'm having a bad hair day. We should come out of here, and our attitude, because I'm talking about attitude, should be better that I worshipped and gave to the King today, as opposed to how good or bad. Because how good these guys play is not dependent on you. It's how we get into the presence of God. They help us do that. A heart that does not grasp. Chapter 2, it says, when we have the same mind as Christ, and He came and He didn't grasp things that weren't meant for Him. And sometimes we want to grasp at things that are not meant for us to do. Well, I want to be like that, but you're not gifted that way. God has not called you to do that. Don't go and do that. And I've used the analogy so many times, by now you know what I'm going to say, so I'm not going to say it. But if you are gifted, if you're not a great public speaker, the chances are that you're called to preach not high on the roster. Let me just be honest. If you're a great musician, the chances are that you're meant to be a musician. If you're good administratively, then the chances are that's what God wants you to do. And when you find that, you'll be happy in it. You won't be chasing after something that doesn't belong to you. We can only have what God gives us. We can't have what we grasp. Diotrephes always wanted to be first. Always wanted to grasp with things. Go and read what they say, what he says. Timothy, I think, it says about Diotrephes. Always wanted to be first. In actual fact, I'm going to have to talk to him, because when we come, he doesn't even greet us and he wants to kick people out of the church, because they don't fit into his mold, because he wants to be first. Should have a heart that doesn't grasp. I'm going over time. I'm going to be finishing right now. A heart that works in team. Chris's favorite expression, there is no I in team. No man is an island, says John Donne. And then just finally, worldview versus kingdom view. The worldview is, you serve me. When I come here, if this is your mind, this is why you need a mind change. Come here to serve. Where you go in your workplace, go and serve. We come to be entertained, as the world says. We come the kingdom to worship. The world grasps at position. Climb the corporate ladder. Be number one. The problem in the world is that we never know who came second. We all know who won the Olympic gold medal for the 100 meters. Well, who was second? Well, I don't know. Who cares? Who will be first should be last. Not let's go, let go. Give out. To be number one, Diotrephes. Or let's work in a team, because together we are better. Together we go further. Together we will run, jump, swim higher. Last words from rock star, I guess. Joanne Baez wrote this. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. We need one another, so I will defend. Each man is my brother, each man is my friend. And then her last verse says, when I help my brother, then I know that I plant the seeds of friendship that will never die. And I think she must have read Ecclesiastes chapter 4 before she wrote that thing. And there's two or three verses in between. And I just want to challenge you today. Strengthen your partnerships in the gospel. Strengthen your partnerships with your family here, that we may worship Him. We want revival. Who doesn't want revival? It's easier. Okay, everybody wants revival. Revival will not come when we are at odds with each other. We can shunday bunday, hallelujah, jump to the best tunes. But unless we are like Psalm 133, because unity comes, and when unity comes, God has promised He has no option but to bless. The scripture says, He commands His blessing. So I wanted to preach short today. Well, I did my best. Because I want us to look at a video clip. It's a 30-minute video clip. We'll be done just around about 12. We've been talking about the redemptive thread and what that means. And people have asked, although we've tried our best to explain it, well, what does that really mean to be part of that? And so we thought the best thing to do is show you session one of what it is. And here, if you listen, try and identify with someone in it. And it talks about their failures and how fearful they were, because that's just reality. They're being as real as they can. And then it talks about the fingerprint of God. And we spoke about God has His fingerprint on various things in our lives and is trying to show us. So that's what they're talking about when they talk about the fingerprint. And then they talk about the different languages that we spoke about. And we were supposed to launch that tonight, but as I said last week, if you weren't here, we can't launch it tonight because we haven't received the manuals in time. So we've ordered manuals. But if you, after today, if you really want to do this, please see Kim and order your manual her so we can then either order more or know that we've got enough. We ordered a few extra. But I just thought it'd be good for us as a church to watch this. It's taken in the UK, it's videoed in the UK, of a church and how they went through